I'm Bill Littlefield. The Atlanta Braves are bad. How bad? Oh, well, they've won just about one out of every four games they play so far. And if the Braves keep up this pace, they'll finish as Major League Baseball's worst team since 1962. We're going to talk about the Braves and more on this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know. My guests are ESPN the Magazine's Mina Kimes and Sports on Earth's Will Leach. Welcome to both of you.
Hello.
Well, howdy there.
Mina, you're up first. Tell us a little bit about the news from Atlanta.
Yeah, so a few days ago, the Braves announced they were firing their manager since 2011, Freddy Gonzalez, which wasn't entirely surprising because, as you mentioned, the team has been absolutely terrible. What was surprising to some people was the revelation that with Gonzalez gone, there are now only two non-white managers in all of baseball and zero Latino managers. And this is especially stunning given that nearly 30% of players are Latino. Baseball does have a C-League rule like the Rooney rule, which requires teams to interview minority managers when positions open up. But as with the Rooney rule, it's unclear if it's working. And now with Gonzalez gone, I think it's clear more than ever that the league does have a serious diversity problem.
It was really shocking to understand that. And then I felt terrible for being shocked, then realizing, oh, I'm in fact part of the problem. A great example of someone on this is Jose Oquendo. He's been the third base coach for the St. Louis Cardinals for almost 20 years. And every two or three years, a new job comes up. He gets an interview for it. And he's one of the last two or three people. And then he doesn't get it. And then the Cardinals managing job came up, the people that know him the best as well. And he was one of the last people that didn't get it there either. It's an issue, particularly in a sport like baseball, which not only 30% of the players, but that is the most growing fan base in the sport as well. It's a clear blind spot. It's something they're going to have to get on pretty quickly.
Every time I think about something like this, I'm reminded of Al Campanis, who got fired for saying blacks didn't have the necessities to be major league managers. I can't believe we're still having this sort of conversation. Good managers come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. And in fact, the ones who can speak Spanish have an enormous advantage over the ones who can't.
I think the problem is it's not clear what the solution is. You know, the C-League rule doesn't seem to be working. And there are all these great candidates out there. You know, Sandy Alomar, Manny Acta, who's back with the Mariners, has been doing a great job. So it's unclear, I think, what baseball has to do to fix it, only that the problem exists.
I want to talk a little bit about some lawsuits that appeared on Tuesday. Men who played football at six universities filed class action lawsuits charging that the universities, the conferences, the NCAA mishandled concussions. Georgia, Auburn, Penn State are among the very well-known football schools mentioned in these suits. And attorneys say that there are going to be 50 more of these suits coming down the line within perhaps as soon as the next couple of weeks. There are 22 athletic departments, at least according to a Chronicle of Higher Education study, that are making money. And the median surplus in those money-making programs is about $8 million. How many multi-million dollar lawsuits like the ones that appeared this week is it going to take to encourage people in those athletic departments, not to mention the people in the lots and lots and lots of athletic departments losing money, to consider life without football? And boy, would it change the culture on some of those campuses. Does anybody regard what I'm suggesting here as radically wrong?
I think the only way college football in America gets brought down is if a meteor crashes into Alabama. I mean, you know, these are big suits and they're serious. And I think this new thing where they're actually targeting schools is really interesting because when this case first came out a few years ago, there were a lot of school specific incidents and examples of negligence that I think more are going to come to light. However, if there's anything we've learned from what's happened with the NFL is that there is a blueprint for dealing with this. And I just have little faith that this is going to really shake up the system.
Well, I live in Georgia, so Alabama is fine. If it either hits there, that's actually totally fine. No one within the NFL is ever going to say, hey, maybe we shouldn't actually be playing football. But on college campuses, all it takes is one university president or one very organized group of professors to make a big stink about not just the financial aspect of it, but the moral aspect of it. You know, in a lot of ways, I've always thought for those people that find this a cause they want to pursue, colleges have always been a much more fertile ground.
Of course, if some of the colleges aren't doing it anymore, where's the NFL going to find all their players? They might actually have to start a minor league. My goodness. Will, I'll shut up now. I gather that you have been keeping tabs on the Red Sox most popular old guy.
Yeah, you know, people should start paying more attention to the Red Sox. They're very overlooked and not discussed very often. So I want to take this opportunity to shine some light on an under-discussed person. That is David Ortiz. 1 month after his 40th birthday, which was 1 month after my 40th birthday, David Ortiz posted a video on the Players Tribune saying he was going to retire from baseball at the end of the season. So what has happened? David Ortiz is having this great year, and everyone's saying, stay, stay, you can't leave, you can't leave. For David Ortiz to go out on top is so rare that it should be appreciated rather than us being like, no, no, come back again so we can get mad at you when you inevitably struggle because you're the infinitely old age of 40.
This makes me think of Peyton Manning, right? Because if he had gone out on top when he was at his personal best, it would have been after my Seahawks crushed him in the Super Bowl. He wouldn't have hung on. He wouldn't have been terrible last year, and he wouldn't have won the Super Bowl. So it's hard to say, right, which is better. And I think it's an interesting existential question, and it really comes down, obviously, to the personal preference for the player. But as fans, it can be, I think, a little disheartening to watch that final year.
I don't think we have any right to tell athletes when they should retire. I think it's entirely up to each athlete. But there is an image that I have in my head that would be great fun, and that is David Ortiz decides at some point during this spring or summer that he isn't going to retire, and he has to tell the people in all those ballparks across the country to keep all those rocking chairs made out of baseball bats. Also, I can't help, maybe it's the pessimist in me or the dark side or something, it's May. He hasn't had a great year yet. He's had a great month and a half.
Well, if he does come back, the Houston Astros gave him a Stetson for his going away gift. If he does come back,
he has to give it back.
We better not see him in that Stetson.
My guest for Three Stories You Should Know have been Mina Kimes of ESPN the magazine and Will Leach of Sports on Earth. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.